Good morning. Good morning. A little gray out there, but it's beautiful in here. We got a little bit of an odd day today because of the holiday. I won't be here, obviously, on Thanksgiving, nor will I be on the day after. Normally on Wednesdays, we have the mayor, but he's not going to be here. He's traveling. So we'll have the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitch, at 11 o'clock. Right now, we're going to have Leo Choquette coming in. Leo is, of course, the Ward 1 city councilor. Tomorrow, we'll have Brian Shortsleeves tomorrow in this hour by a phone interview. He's, running for governor. At the 9:30 hour, we'll have Mike Keneally also running for governor. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, we will have Chris Ryan from the Republican State Committee. He represents the western part of the state, but he's really an expert, done a lot of conventions on the Republican Party convention rules, how to be a delegate. So tomorrow at 11 o'clock, and of course that'll be a podcast, we'll have Chris Ryan calling in, helping us to understand the latest rules of the Republican Party for the upcoming convention, which will be next year, to nominate a governor's candidate and a lot of other people as well. So anyway, we're now joined here in the studio by Leo Choquette. Leo, of course, is the Ward 1 city councilor. Good morning, Leo. How you doing?
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me in. Good morning, everybody.
Thank you for bringing donuts, keeping the streak alive.
Yeah, it's almost like the DiMaggio, consecutive game hit streak there, right?
Well, it's not quite as great as that,
no,
Leo.
No,
it's just you buying donuts, but I do appreciate it. And I do appreciate it. Let's not get crazy here, Leo.
I'm no Yankee Clipper.
No, you are no Yankee Clipper. But anyway, I do appreciate you showed up early, a little extra time to spend with you, Leo. So tell us, you had to vote the other night on setting the tax rate in the city of New Bedford. Of course, the tax rate is really set by how much money you spend, or how much money the mayor spends, how much money you do decide to preserve in the budget. But then you have to set the tax shift, because the taxes in the city of New Bedford are split between commercial and just regular residents, homeowners. Talk about that, Leo.
Yeah, so the tax shift, I mean, it's the pretty much the final cherry on top for budget season, right? For lack of a better analogy. The budget is set. We try to clip the coupons, so to speak, where we can. And then if there's not enough money coming in to, sustain growth, then it falls upon the residents and the business owners to pick up the difference through taxes. I mean, every city does this, right? The biggest revenue generators are property taxes, fees, capital expenditures, enterprise funds. Like, those are the things that bring money in, and then of course economic development, economic growth. So with a lack of everything else, taxes are always the go-to way, unfortunately, to sustain the city budget. Of course, we could also, as a city, not raise the budget, but it is what it is. The city council doesn't control that. So,
well, you do. You could cut the budget.
We can cut the budget, correct?
Yeah,
but.
You do control that.
We control the ability to cut it. Whatever comes out, we can, put a toppings on it. Take the toppings off. Right? Can't put toppings on the pizza that comes out of the kitchen, but we can take the toppings off.
So last year you proposed a major cut to the budget. What was your proposal?
So I wanted to do something different, and I wanted to do what would essentially have been a level funding of the budget. In a nondescript way, just removing $27 million. Of course, I understand the mayor was not thrilled. I get it. It's kind of an outside of the box thinking on my part. But the thought process just was, okay.
Well, not that he wasn't thrilled. He actually called it not serious.
Yeah. Well, again, there's many things I can say that are not serious, but he said it was not serious.
Right.
So
not a serious cut. Like, in other words, you just put it out there.
Yeah. Well, listen, putting a garbage dump in Ward 1, a trash transfer station's not serious either, right? I mean, I digress. But the important thing is that I was just thinking outside of the box. The reason why I picked $27 million was because that would essentially be taking the year's prior amount, mm-hmm, and adjusting for inflation. So if the overall budget increase was somewhere around $30 million, I figured, well, you know, with the inflation adjustment, you know, you have to raise the budget a little to keep up with inflation.
Sure.
So, you know, about a 7% growth over the prior year. And that would have been done by removing $27 million out of $30 million that it was slated to go up by.
Sure.
That's all it was. I mean, but again, you know, it's just outside of the box thinking. It never really saw the light of day. It wasn't voted on or anything, but it was put on the agenda, and then they removed it.
What would that have resulted in terms of layoffs for, like, police, fire, EMT?
Well, of course, I mean, it was nondescript, right? So I didn't say take $30 million from the $27 million from the police or
no,
or,
I get it, but yeah. But you would have, but that's what would have happened.
Yeah, so it was a thought process for me to try to just do something different. I mean, I was pretty positive.
Was it a publicity stunt?
No, it wasn't a publicity stunt.
Then how many, say, for instance, let's just concentrate on police. How many police would have been laid off under your proposal?
None that I know of, because I wasn't targeted to cut anything on the police.
Yeah, but if you gave the mayor a budget back, lower $27 million, you would just put it in his lap to make the cuts?
Well, it would have gone into the vote, and I didn't think the council was going to ever be able to vote it in there.
So it was a publicity stunt.
Well, you can call it a publicity stunt. Okay.
All right. I mean, that's why the mayor called it not serious, because it wasn't like it was really going to go forward.
No, I mean, I was just trying to prove a point that, you know, the council can make big cuts if they wanted to.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So, you know, if you want to call it a publicity stunt.
I thought it was a good example.
Yeah.
In other words, you said, here's what we could do.
Yeah.
But we're not going
to
do it.
No, I'm not looking to lower the amount of police officers in this city. I'm looking to increase them significantly. Oh.
And what about firefighters? How many firefighters would we have lost? In other words, did you take a look at that?
I did not look at those.
Okay.
How it would have affected that. No. Okay. It was more of just trying to get outside of the box thinking going.
I think we're still talking about it.
Yeah.
Quite a while later.
It would require far more deep dive onto who it's going to affect specifically.
Yes.
And that's why it was a non-specific cut.
Right.
That's why I did it that way. And I didn't say, you know, remove exactly $2 million from here, $2 million from there, $2 million from there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the tax shift. What were your thought process behind that? Explain what you did.
Yeah. So the tax shift, right? So we start, we get the range of, generally it's 1.70 to 1.75 from the city CFO. They give us a presentation and they say, okay, look, we have, the council needs to vote a shift here. We need to figure out, and like I like to use the example of, you know, the Lady Justice statue with the two, the little scales, right? So you got a split tax, and when the split tax, we have to decide who's going to shoulder the larger part of the taxes, whether it's the businesses or the residents. So if you start at 1.70, that is going to be where business owners are going to be happiest, because the largest shift there is going to be towards the residents picking up the tab, right? And if you vote for 1.75, it's the inverse. The residents...
Well, of course, a lot of city businesses are owned by residents, so they're not there.
Sure,
they're gonna have to pay the residential tax too. So, sure. But anyway, continue.
Yeah, so residential taxpayers, let's just put it that way, residential taxpayers would have more of a relief if we did 1.75, and the business owners would shoulder more of the burden.
Right.
The last 2 years, it's been the business owners have actually. And the numbers are always weird, because it's not like just a straight calculation that it would seem like, okay, one or the other. Like the tax rate, it's a tax rate times the assessment.
Your hand gestures aren't translating over
the
radio.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
He's using a hand gesture here in the studio. I just want you guys at home to see that.
A nice hand gesture,
you can't see it. They can't see it, Leo. When you're using it to explain it, I mean, I get what you're doing, but the people at home can't see your hands moving the way you're moving.
My apologies.
But anyway, go ahead.
So as one goes up, the other goes down.
Yes.
Right? But also, you have to take into account that it's the assessment value of the property. So it's essentially A times B equals C. C is what you end up paying. A is a tax rate. B is the assessed value of the property. Mm-hmm. So there are instances where tax rate can go down, but your assessed property value goes up sharply.
Right.
And even though you're being told, hey, tax rate's going down, A times B equals C, the amount of money you're paying would still go up, even if the tax rate went down. So it gets a little tricky, right? I mean, it's easy to say, we lowered taxes. And then people are saying, well, why am I paying more every year?
Right. Why are they paying more? Because you guys spend more.
Yes.
Right? I mean, that's really what it comes down to.
No, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And it's not just we're spending more. We're not bringing in enough money through economic development as much as we could or as we should.
Right. How much do you think we're missing out on economic development? Round figure, couple million.
Yeah, couple million. I mean, seriously.
That's what you think? Couple million dollars?
I think a couple of million dollars because we went down significantly from the last two times. So 2 years ago, we were at 3.6 million. And then it dropped down. I mean, no, it was 3.2, then 3.6, and now it's 2.8 million.
Okay.
So our economic growth decreased over the last 2 years, quite a bit, almost by $1 million.
Sure.
So that's something that troubles me.
Sure.
Right. And the last thing I want to do is have to make up this lost growth by taxing residents and business owners more.
Sure.
So my whole thing is I'm looking to develop an economic development. I keep using the word development too much in the sentences. Economic development committee on the city council.
Okay.
So like the airport commission. Is the airport commission, and it's the whole city, and there's different people that are on it.
Right.
From the mayor's office, private citizens, city council.
Joe, before we go off on that, Leo, but just get back to how you voted on the tax between residents and business.
I wanted to have it either 1.74 or 1.75.
Okay.
And the way that they do it is they vote first on the lowest proposed tax rate.
Meaning the city council. You're part of the they.
Exactly. Yeah. The city council,
yeah.
So someone from the audience, I forget who, it might have been Councilor Burgo, I think it was, but I apologize if it wasn't, but they recommended we did the 1.70 shift.
Okay.
And then there were some other proposals.
That would have been really devastating to business, wouldn't it?
No, the other way around.
The other way around, okay.
Yeah, it would have been devastating to it would have gone up the most out of the choices for the residents.
Okay.
And it would have gone down the most for the business owners.
Okay.
So that was 1.70. And then somebody recommended 1.71, someone recommended 1.72, and pretty much every one of the choices. So the vote starts at 1.70. It's almost like bidding at an auction, kind of, where we take the amount of votes, and when we get to six, that's what it's locked in at. So 1.70 choice, I think it was failed like 8-3. And then we did 1.71, and that failed 7-4. And then it kind of slowly got up. And then we hit 1.72, we got a 6-5 vote, yes. So now it's locked in. And we don't vote on 1.73, even if, say, 1.73 would have gotten an 11-0 vote.
Okay.
We don't even take the vote at that point.
All right.
So it triggers it once you get to 6.
Yes, I get that. Yeah, yeah. So how did you vote?
I voted no on 1.70, 1.71, and 1.72. I was waiting to get to 1.74. I would have voted yes on 1.74 and then yes on 1.75. I wanted to give the residents a break because I campaigned on trying to do the best to lower residential taxes if possible.
Right.
You know, you can't promise that, but trying to do what I say I'm going to do.
When you go into the next budget season, because you're relatively new on the council, mm-hmm. You can see that putting forward serious budget cuts is really the only way you're going to be able to spare the voters of Ward 1,
correct.
The taxpayers of Ward 1, and the businesses of Ward 1, or the whole city, which is important, from increasing taxes, right?
Correct. There's only so many avenues into the equation. Like, there's not, you know, we're not going to win the lottery and come upon a huge amount of money all of a sudden. So you're either increasing the economic development, right? Or, you know, you have to raise taxes at the end of the year. I mean, it's one or the other.
We are the lowest in the state of Massachusetts. In the country, the state of Massachusetts is the lowest now in producing private sector jobs.
That's shocking.
Under Governor Healey.
That is scary.
With the supermajority in the Democrats and the governor, Democrat. Maybe it's time for change?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I'm not a, look, I'm a Democrat, but I'm not happy with what Governor Healey has done. Or, I mean, that is one of the, I didn't even realize what you just told me is a shock. Not because I think she's doing a great job, but just to hear that we're last.
Right.
Private sector job growth.
Yes.
That is incredible.
Yes.
In a bad way.
Yeah. It's right in the Boston Globe all the time now, these days. All right, Leo, we're going to take a break and then we're back. If you're on hold, stay there. I do see you again. Tomorrow, we'll have Brian Shortsleeves joining us here on the program, running for governor. We'll have Mike Keneally running for governor. And we'll have Chris Ryan from the Republican State Committee, who's going to explain how to become a delegate, all of the rules that just came out for the Republican Party. Of course, in the next hour, we'll be joined by Mayor John Mitchell, the mayor of New Bedford, because he's going to be traveling on Wednesdays. A lot of people are. So remember, I won't be here Thursday or Friday. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience. It's a beautiful time of the year, right? Black Friday is coming up, and shooting supplies Black Friday sale is really too big to fit into just one day. That's right. Shooting supplies Black Friday sale is happening all week long. New items are added every day with super-duper specials for Black Friday and Black Saturday. Check out ShootingSupply.com for the latest deals. Listen to this. Smith & Wesson guns starting at just $399. A 12-gauge shotgun for only $149. And 9mm pistols, just $349. Plus, huge savings on ammunition. I mean, what good's the gun without the ammunition? Don't miss out. ShootingSupply.com has all the best deals happening now. Of course, Shooting Supply is right here in Westport. We have Leo Choquette here in the studio with us. Leo, good morning.
Good morning.
Here you are.
Hello.
Leo, we're going to take some phone calls.
All right, great.
We're talking about his tax vote, all the great things that he's been doing. He's had a pretty good year being the city councilor. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Gilly Safiolis.
Hey, good morning, Gilly.
I just want to bring some points out there. First thing I want to ask you, Leo, is you got your pants on?
I always have my pants on.
Well, I brought it up because that was the first thing that came out of Oliver's mouth yesterday. I got my pants on today. That was directed towards me. But the point that I want to bring across is the way, Chris, you're calling him a public stunt, but you wasn't as tough on Oliver yesterday when you had him. But the thing is, Leo, what's the best number for the taxpayers of New Bedford? What's the best number from 1.070 to 1.75 for the residents?
Yeah, for the residents, well, it would be 1.75, that split number.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Now, we know there's businesses in the city. Okay, and I know, but the bottom line is there's more residents than people that have business. Most of the people that have business in the city live outside the city. So there ain't a fair comparison to say they both pay taxes. So you're there, the city council is there to take care of the residents. It's a shame that it never got to 1.75 because that would have been the best thing for them so their taxes won't go up like they did. So I just don't understand how they voted on that number and it stopped. Like I said to to Oliver, he could have not taken that vote. And then it would have went to the next number. And if it went all the way to the top, you didn't get the number, they would have reversed it and went to the same thing. So the city council, I'm glad you voted. You didn't vote for that number. But if you, but the rest of the people that voted for it, you know, the 1.72, they should have waited and vote for the taxpayers, because they're the ones that paid their salary in it. They work for the people. So that's my main thing. So the 1.75 would have helped the residents. Not because there's more residents, they have to pay this tax than people that have businesses. And it's more for the business, yeah, where they can afford it. But the majority of the people that have businesses in the city don't live in the city.
Thanks for the call. Leo, your comment.
Yeah, no, well, I'll agree with Gilly on that. That 1.75 would definitely be the best split for the residents. I mean, he's right. So if the way the numbers broke down this time around with 1.72, it raised the amount of money that residents will pay for their annual tax bill on average.
Sure.
Right? Because everybody's property is worth something different.
Yes.
On average, $160 a year. So if the average house is worth about $440,000, which that's coming right from Bob Ekstrom, the CFO, and I trust his numbers, obviously, $440,000, the average property value, then when you multiply the tax rate times the $440, you get an increase of $160.
Okay.
And then on the other side, the business owners, you know, they're going to save some money this time. When you do the same calculation with the split, the average business parcel value is somewhere around $650,000. Mm-hmm. Obviously, some business owners is a lot more. Some it's smaller. But on average, it's about $650,000. They will save, on average, $720 this year. So it's going to go down about $720 in taxes. So, yeah, I mean, the business owners are going to do well. And, you know, that's the way the council voted. That's the way it came out. And yeah, but I told you, 1.74 would have been my first play.
508-996. It's taking it on with Leo Choquette, Ward 1 City Council. The mayor's got some zoning changes coming up in this. You've got to go in front of the city council. You guys have a lot of command over the zoning. Last time around, they tried to abolish single family zoning. You guys passed it, but then you went back and changed it. Somehow it got past you guys, but I know David Garatowski figured it out, and he recommended you guys, and you guys reversed it. How do you feel about the zoning change? Have you taken a look at it yet?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a fan. I don't want to abolish single-family zoning.
Okay.
I mean, single-family-only residential is a hallmark of my ward, mm-hmm. and we're going to, you know, I'm going to vote to keep it that way. Hopefully the rest of the council, you know, majority feels that way. I understand that a lot of this has to do with the parking, mm-hmm. right? We're trying to figure out how to build multifamilies and you know, increase housing stock for people in a city where you don't have the room to put two cars per unit. Mm-hmm. Now, my thoughts on this are the following. And let's use that perceived New York China buffet property that they were looking to develop.
Yes.
They were going to try
to put it's an abandoned building over by New Bedford Volk.
Yep. Yeah. they were going to put in, and I don't know what the status is now. They haven't turned in the proposal. But the proposal was to be 25 units, and then they lowered it to 20.
Okay.
So parking is a huge issue, right? Because that's about an acre.
How many parking spaces per unit are they looking for there?
Well, it was going to be originally it was the two, because they don't fall in that TOD district, okay. The transit oriented district that surrounds Kings Highway.
Right.
So they would be just the normal two. Now,
so with 25 units, the original plan, it would have been 50 parking spots.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now they would try to trim it down to closer to 40.
When you say that, you mean the developer or the
developer?
City?
They were talking about trimming it down. But even then, I mean, where do you put 40 parking spots on an acre parcel in
right.
addition to the property? That's
right.
where things get a little dicey. The residents obviously were upset because they figured, well, people are just going to overflow parking.
Well,
street.
Of course, yes.
And yeah, that's that was one of the biggest problems that they were facing with that size.
So now they've gone to 20 units. How many parking spots per unit?
It would still be, I want to say it's 35. We don't, again, they haven't turned in a proposal.
Okay.
So nothing's official.
Okay.
All right. This was just at the meeting we had.
But with 20 units at that old China Buffet, the abandoned building, what, if it was 20 units, let's use that number going forward, how many parking spots today would they need for 20 units? Would it be 40?
Yeah. It would be 40. Yeah, because it's...
But under the mayor's revised zoning plan, it would be what?
It would be, I want to say 1.3. So it would be closer to like 28.
Okay.
Now, even then, here's the issue. With that property on that 1 acre parcel, you're still going to have overflow parking with visitors.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the other thing. Just because you're telling somebody, listen, you are only allowed 1.3 parking spots, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're still going to have their second car. They're just going to park it out on the
street. Plus, they'll have to chop it in half.
Yeah.
Chop a piece off it. That would be ridiculous.
It would be a chop shop, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what would be good? The Adobe car would be good. You just rip a piece off. It's an old Saturday Night Live skit, Adobe.
I remember that.
Where is the proposal now? Well, what would you want there? Do you want 20 housing units there?
No. What I would like to see is something similar to what the developer, Mr. Dan Meneves, has across the street from the industrial park entrance in New England Farms. He's got like those townhouses. And I think there's like four or five of them. That's what I would like to see. 4 to 6 units. I would never support anything more than 8 units max on that property. And even that's stretching it, because I talked to Mr. Meneves and he was actually interested in potentially working on that and developing that property initially. But
is the city own that or is that in private hands now?
No, it's in private hands now.
Okay.
There's a gentleman that owns it. And the gentleman's open to suggestions because we had 2 very well attended abutter meetings that I set up.
Okay.
We had almost 60 people at one of them. And it's essentially all the folks who live on Maryland,
sure,
that live on Jerry. Great neighborhood.
Oh, fantastic.
And I don't want to see anything happen to that.
No, I don't think anybody does. One of the hallmarks of Leo Choquette's tenure has been his open meetings, his public meetings. You have a meeting coming up, right?
Yeah. So tonight, I'm glad you mentioned that. So we're going to have...
I take care of you.
Thank you. We're going to have the newest member of the city council, Councilor-elect Scott Pemberton.
Yes.
Will be Ward attending.
Two.
We're going to introduce him. So our councilor-elect for Ward 2, Scott Pemberton. I also invited at-large councilor-elect James Roy. He was unable to attend. I mean, it is Thanksgiving week. So, we'll get him in at another... We'll get him at another date.
You're making it. Pemberton's making it. I bet a lot of other your colleagues are going to make it. Yep. That's curious that Roy's not going to make it. That's a little disappointing. Maybe he's out of town. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is what it is. We'll get him in at another time. I'm not worried about that. He's the at-large counselor, so he has to cover Ward 1 with me.
Not only that, he needs Ward. Everyone needs Ward 1.
Yeah. So that'll be, the first half an hour. And then around 6:30-ish, we're going to switch over to Paula Santos-Yun, who's going to be talking about fentanyl awareness. And just to give you a background on her, she leads the effort in this area with fentanyl awareness.
And that's tonight where?
That's tonight at Pulaski School. I almost said Welby Park. Pulaski School, where I have all the meetings. 6
Although you're going to be shifting some, you said, right?
Yeah, I think I'm going to... See, this year I want to maybe include the lower end of the ward, like the southern end of the ward over at Normandin.
Sure.
We'll try to
move it up around a little
bit. Yeah, move it around.
But Pulaski School tonight at 6 p.m.
Yes.
6 p.m. tonight, guys. Leo Choquette, Scott Pemberton, Ward 2 elect city councilor. Scott Pemberton, great guy who's been doing this stuff with you for a while. You've worked closely with Scott Pemberton for a while.
Yes. So Scott helped me. He's helped me for the last 2 years to do the meetings, because I still haven't been able to find a group of folks that want to run the meeting.
I think you should keep control of it, Leo. I know other city councils pawn it off on other people, but really, I think it's your baby. You've been doing it from the beginning. In my opinion, I think the people appreciate you, and you're like Dean Martin up there.
I love it.
You're entertaining everybody.
Dino.
We're gonna take a break. We'll go back. When we come back, we'll go to the phones. I'm Chris McCarthy with Ward 1 City Council, Leo Choquette. Remember, it's an odd day. We have the mayor of New Bedford coming in the next hour because he'll be traveling tomorrow, and of course, course, I'm not going to be here for Thanksgiving or the day after. So stick around, and then we'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health. Advanced medicine, more care
to children.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Some money, right? Nothing wrong with that. We all want to save money. Best way to save money is to keep your car in good running order. That way you don't have to replace it. Bring it to Mac Auto Sales. They'll fix it up right for you. 188 Rivet Street, New Bedford. They repair all makes and models of automobiles. So if you need to get your car ready for the coming cold weather, winterize your automobile, call Mac Auto Sales and Repair and make an appointment. 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5. This family-owned business specializes in servicing foreign-made automobiles. They're doing a lovely job with domestics as well. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and quality used cars available at Mac Auto Sales. We have Leo Shokedia. Let's go to the audience. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Leo, I just want to thank you so much. You and Sean Oliver, it really got the ball rolling for me. I'm so excited. I actually talked to somebody again today. And they're hand-delivering paperwork. Imagine that, hand-delivered mail.
Wow.
That is awesome. Yeah. So I think I can get my stuff further down here. And I'm just so happy. Thank you so much, Leo.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure, Skitty. I'm glad I could help you.
And you can talk with your hands even though we can't see them. Donald Trump talks with his hands all the time, right?
Yeah, but he's on TV.
I know.
I talk with my hands too. I know they don't make a point to the audience because nobody can see them unless they're glaring through the window at us.
It's all good. We can visualize it.
Thanks, Kenny. Unless they're glaring through the window at me, you know, and you, Leo.
Yeah, that's possible. I think this is a two-way mirror type setup here.
You really can't see him. No, you really can't see him when you come to those windows. But when you come to the door, you can.
Yeah. You never know who'll show up outside the door.
Democrat Leo Shokedia here in the studio. Let's go back. I think Skitty had one more thing to say. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you're back. Sorry about that.
I know, like you're quick to hit that button. I just wanted to say so. For landlords, with this, how it was passed, the taxes. What can I expect from my rent going up? And I'm sure Paul, if he's listening, like he's got that recliner on the side of the street. He's a landlord. What is he going to have to do to his tenants? What am I looking for? As scary as it is, what is my increase in rent do you think will be?
Well, I mean, that comes down to the landlord.
There's a lot of variables.
There's a lot of variables, right? So to answer Skitty's question, the landlord almost sets... can almost adjust really how much they would want to raise rent if possible to cover a rise in taxes on the property within reason, of course. But you know, that's the difference. I mean, you're kind of at the will of the landlord because you rent from them. I mean, again, I can't quote you a number, but if the average property is going up. I mean, you'd have to look at, you know, what's the average value of the property.
You don't know.
You really don't know. It shouldn't be very much different from what the residential person's going to pay.
There's too many variables. And as I said yesterday when someone else called, you can't ask some questions of people here on the radio, put them on the spot. There's no earthly way Leo can figure out what your rent is going to rise. There's too many variables. That's not really... Skitty, I love you, but that's not really a fair question for our good friend Leo Shokedia. Not for anybody, really. All right. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, my friend?
Pretty good. Leo.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Too.
Leo, when are you guys going to confirm the mayor's appointment of the chief to the to his position? I hope it's done before next year, and the councilors that are leaving can confirm the chief.
Yeah, I don't have the exact date on that. I would like to. I mean, I hope so that it gets done sooner rather than later. Of course,
it'll have to go through appointments and briefings.
Yeah,
right?
It still has to go through the committee process.
Well, you'll get a small amount of time. You're going to come back after Thanksgiving, and then Christmas is going to be upon you. And I think it was really something that the mayor is offering, you know, to do. He didn't have to do it according to originally his thinking, and I think it's a big win for you guys in a way that he did submit a name.
Yes.
Yes.
I think you should do it, you know, post haste.
Yep. No, I agree 100%.
This caller is onto it. What is the feeling within the council among the councils you talk to?
I think it'll pass. I don't see why not. Listen, I'm totally for accepting him and you know, confirming him.
You know, the chair of that committee, Naomi Carney, she was on this program and has said other places. She didn't want this guy, nothing against him, but she wanted Nate Rodriguez. And she wants to vote for him. Is that possible?
I mean, I guess anything's possible, but Chief Thody is the chief, in my opinion.
Well, I hope not, and I hope you guys will do your job and get the chief confirmed. You know, the only thing I could see holding him back is if his name came out in the Epstein files. Or something.
Come on. You know, he's not a Democrat, I don't think. Maybe
get
he
off
is.
Your chairs and get it done, or else the mayor's going to be laughing at you.
Nope, I agree.
Okay,
this is something that needs to get done.
Thank you, friend. Have a great Thanksgiving, my friend.
Yeah, have a great Thanksgiving.
Too. Thanks. Yeah, but it's interesting, right?
Yeah, it's a lot of, you know, politics, dynamics, you know, the relationship between the council and the mayor. Listen, I like the mayor. You know, him and I don't always agree on everything, obviously. But
you wouldn't know, matter if you didn't like him. He's the mayor.
No, exactly. I mean, in a strong mayor, weak council format,
right,
he is the warrior chief shaman of the city. I mean,
yes.
He runs stuff. That's how it works.
Yes.
Right? So.
Well, they're going to take a break. We'll have plenty of time when we come back, Leo.
Sure.
We're going to take a break. We have Leo Schoketter, if you want to speak to him. If you're on hold, stay there. I will get you a chance to speak with Ward 1 City Councilor, Democrat Leo Schoketter. Stick around. The Shooting Supply on Route 6 in Westport. Shooting Supply's Black Friday sale is too big to fit into just one day. That's right. Shooting Supply, their Black Friday sale is happening all week long. New items added every day with super-duper specials for Black Friday and Saturday. Check out shootingsupply.com for the latest deals like this. Smith & Wesson guns starting at just $399. A 12-gauge shotgun for only $149. And 9mm pistols just $349. Plus, huge savings on ammunition. Don't miss out. Go to shootingsupply.com. It has all the best deals happening now. We have Leo Schoketter here in the studio with us. Leo?
9mm fields forever.
9mm fields forever. And ammunition to go. Here we go. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hey, good morning, Chris. Hello. Good morning, Councilor Schoketter.
Hey,
feel
morning.
At ease. I'm not going to put you on the spot. And I think, you know, should put paperback writers because we're going to have to get an extra job. Let me just say this, Leo. Since this mayor has come into office in 2012, the budget in the city of New Bedford was $283 million, according to the New Bedford website.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 2023, it went to $471. In 2024, $513. This year, it's $536. And then in 2026, it's $560. Under this Mayor Mitchell, in that corner office, he's added about $10 to $20 million extra year over year.
I'd actually say closer to $30 million, but yeah, I agree.
You know, this is all the city website numbers. In 2024, yeah, this year, I don't know what we're taking in revenue. I'll give you 2024 numbers. Okay, the city of New Bedford generated in tax revenue $155 million. The total state aid, $273 million, and the budget was $513 million. You know, we don't need to make the cuts in the police and fire and paramedics and the teachers. We need to start cutting this administrative office and shrieking because this mayor has ballooned the city council, the mayor's office has expanded more administrators. Because in, you know, in corporations, the first thing they let go is middle management, and they start consolidating, and that these administrators are going to have to wear more hats. This is where you need to cut, is his office.
Mm-hmm. That, and again, yeah. On top of that, you know, we need to bring in more money, right? So that's that. The one thing.
Thanks for the call, sir.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, so you can cut the budget up in many different ways and look at it from many different angles. But at the end of the day, there are certain things that we can't control. You know, we can't control the pension growth. We can't control.
There he is. There's the devil. Speak of the devil.
We can't control certain aspects. But things that we can't control is to try and to develop, you know, economic growth more. And that's something I'd like to look at and like to focus on. And with the help of the gentleman who just walked in, hopefully we can have a great year in 2026 and figure out how to bring more money into the city.
Leo, you are going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. What do you do for Thanksgiving, Leo?
I usually go to either my parents' house or my wife's cousin.
Okay.
And we do both. You know, watch some football.
Yeah.
Eat turkey.
Are you a fried turkey guy? Do you fry the turkey?
I've never tried to fry the turkey. No. You know,
that's why
my dad.
You have no major burns on your body.
Yeah, no. I remember hearing these stories. Every year we get somebody that uses a turkey fryer and bad things happen. But
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So public service announcement, try not to fry your turkey.
Well,
try to do
if
it
if you're
going to
fry. I mean, I've seen it fried. You know, out in the backyard.
Yeah. Well, if you
stay away from wooden structures
and, you know, gasoline and
are you a Black Friday guy? Do you go shopping?
I do like to go shopping. You know, I before I went to law school, I worked in retail and I used to love the holiday season in retail.
Right.
Most people don't like it, but I do. I love the whole, you know, presentation of lights and glittering things and, you know, and bargains and. So, yeah, no, I do like to go, but I'm not going to sit.
Did you set up, like, displays for Christmas like they did in Elf?
Is that
what you did? The Gimbals department store? Where did you work retail,
Santa Claus
Leo?
Is coming.
Leo, where did you work retail?
Home Depot in Dartmouth.
Really?
Sold flooring. Yeah. I pretty much drove the machine that pulled down the wooden planks and.
You know, what was their workers' comp bill every year with you, Leo? You used the forklift?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They gave me a wide berth, obviously, when I would come in.
That's funny.
But no,
Carter's Clothing, that's the place to go for Christmas, right?
Absolutely.
Downtown New Bedford.
Yep. Where you got to go to buy a great pair of socks, Carter's Clothing.
Carter's Clothing, they got really unique New Bedford wear there, boots, all kinds of stuff.
Yep.
And free parking, Leo. That's what makes it nice. Pull in and browse.
Yep, and I heard the mayor is probably going to wait until, 2 days before Christmas to get your Christmas shopping done?
That's an early start.
That's an early start.
That's an early start. What about you, Leo? You already started?
I'm kind of bad, too. I will admit. You know, because if I say I'm not, my wife's going to scold me when I get home later.
You know what's nice about Carter's? Gift cards.
Oh, gift cards.
Any denomination.
Yeah, because how do you really know what someone wants if you don't look at their Christmas?